Welcome, listeners, to your one-stop podcast for stories both weird, strange, and creepy from all around the world. For my new listeners, welcome. And for my veterans, your seat is waiting. It's raining here in Australia. Well, it's bucketing, actually. I'm not sure if you can hear it, but it's nuts over here. It's part of the reason why I'm not doing any shoutouts, just in case it pours so loud it gets in the way of the quality of this episode. In saying that, though, you know what complements this weather? Tea. Oh yeah, that's right. I have my Earl Grey in hand, lovely listeners, and I'm ready to share with you two stories today. One is an SCP written by Carl Brandt, and I won't spoil that with any giveaways. And the second story is a creepypasta titled Crunched Up Paper House. It's probably not what it sounds like. Also, this is Mortis Media Appreciation Week. If you're looking for a narrator that shares my taste in stories, search up Mortis Media on YouTube. He is just brilliant and hosts narrators like myself on his platform. In fact, just today he's uploaded a No Sleep story of mine, and he has an older story, Magnum Opus, that I narrated for him a while ago, so please go check him out. Now, do you have your hot beverage? Good. So turn the lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something different. SCP-139389. Object Class, Safe. Special Containment Procedures. SCP-139389 is to be contained inside a cuboidal container with a surface area of 6.87 meters made with three layers of alternating SAM-2X5-630 and laminated polycarbonate. SAM-2X5-630 should be at a minimum 19 0.5 millimeters thick. Class D and E personnel are not to be permitted access. In case of container's failure, Class C personnel shall be allowed to enter, but only if they are wearing a hazmat suit for their protection. The artifact will be placed in a transportation case and taken to a local museum to be placed in a secure box that the Foundation has set up, with a minimum of 4 Foundation security personnel that will be present at all times. Description. SCP-139389 was found in Japan by a volunteer named Dollar Expunged. The artifact is bound in an unknown hide with golden kanji, which reads Michi Dollar Expunged. The object, if not handled correctly, creates SCP-139389-A. Upon this creation, the person shall be contained in a standard living environment for a normal person and not permitted to have contact with SCP-139389 without authorization from at least one Class B personnel, and under highly supervised sessions. Only one 139389A can be in existence at once. 139389A claims they live through the experiences written in the artifact and claim to see monsters unseen to average humans. 139389A shows signs of Marie Antoinette syndrome, as well as signs of dissociative identity disorder. When the subject is in contact with the artifact, the object faintly glows a calm blue light, and the subject loses consciousness. Upon the subject's conscious return, the artifact returns to its normal state and goes into a period of inactivity. Tests have concluded the inactivity period is as short as 8 hours. During the inactive periods, the pages are blank to anyone. Subjects claim to have relived the life of Michi Data Expunged. The more the subject comes into contact with 139389, the whiter their hair becomes, and the more their personal electric magnetic field changes. This is all that is known of SCP-139389, and thus concludes this SCP. And your creepypasta title is Crunched Up Paper House by Ulashai. My friend and I always used to walk through a wonderful, spacious park when we were younger. It was full of tall trees, and it was very nicely maintained. In this large park, there was an abandoned mansion. I can't really say how long it had been there, but on that day, the front door of the mansion was wide open. The two of us decided to check out what was inside the place. As we inched through the door, the very first thing we noticed was that the mansion's floor was littered with crumpled up pieces of paper. We looked at each other and observed that there was no furniture, nothing except for those wrinkled balls of paper. The mansion had 6 rooms on its main floor, and every room we entered bore more and more scrunched up pieces of paper. We decided to open up one of the paper balls to see what was inside. Our curiosity got the better of us. I picked up a single wrinkled piece, and as my friend picked up another, I unfolded my paper, smoothing out its bends and dents. And at that moment, it was almost as if a piece of a rainbow emerged before our eyes. And I was suddenly standing next to a large window in one of the upstairs rooms of the house. I was looking outside into the large park. When I looked down at the piece of paper I held, it read, "Look outside the large window that oversees the park in the upstairs parlor." I dropped the piece of paper and it fluttered gracefully to the ground. Meanwhile, I stared at my open hand in a bout of horror. Dazed and utterly perplexed, I found my way downstairs and met up with my friend. He was in the kitchen, sitting at a round table that hadn't been there before. "Where did that come from?" I wondered. My friend stared at his open paper and reread the words several times before he looked at me and turned the page my way. It said, "Go to the kitchen and sit at the round table." We stared at each other for a few moments, vaguely afraid. But then we began to chuckle. Within seconds, we were laughing our heads off, marveling at our newfound game. We could hardly believe what had happened, but being young as we were, the mystery was endlessly exciting. We decided again to open up another piece of scrunched up paper. As we opened up the crumpled papers on the floor, we experienced the same sudden flash of rainbow colors, but this time, I ended up lying down in the field behind the mansion. When I peered onto the paper in my right hand, it read, "Lie down in the field behind the mansion." I giggled uncontrollably. After a few minutes of running around the house, I found my friend collecting multiple balls of paper in his arms, eager to experience more of these strange, exciting phenomena. We both got the gist of what was happening at this point. We had no idea as to how it was possible, but we decided to have more fun with it. The supernatural always had a way of captivating our hearts. After a few more run-throughs with these strange mind teleportation devices, I began to feel apprehensive. I wondered if, at one point, I would be placed somewhere I didn't want to be, or I'd be made to do something that I didn't enjoy. We continued, though. Minute after minute, we unfolded many papers and traveled through bedrooms, closets, trees. But then, after having been on the roof of the mansion, I stood before my friend, dead on the living room floor. I didn't scream. I couldn't.
"Murder him,"
I read on my crumpled page as I felt a surge of vomit and bile rise into my throat. Nothing came out, but the sickness in my throat spread to my stomach, my head, and my heart. I didn't know what to do. At this point, I began to scream and shout, praying to God for this to be a nightmare. No. I wanted it to go away. I wanted to rewind our day and be outside again, together, walking underneath the trees. All I could do was hide his body in a cupboard. I willed myself to be calm, and I hesitantly unfolded another paper, in the hopes that the problem would correct itself. Once again, I saw the colors of the rainbow, and I found myself standing behind a tree several meters away from the house. I could clearly see the front door, within a few instants, I saw both myself and my friend walk through that door. I began to wonder if I had died, or if I was having an out-of-body experience. I looked at the sheet in my hand, and the only words scrawled upon them were,
"Time will repeat itself, and a paradox will take place, and it will be allowed."
That gave me an idea. In my pocket remained the paper that made me kill my friend. Without looking at it, I crumpled it back up. Quietly, I followed my other self, who had separated from my friend as he explored the rooms of the house. As I crept behind him, he turned around very suddenly. Before he could utter a syllable, I forced the paper in front of my eyes, and in a flash of rainbow colors, I was able to kill my other self. The laws of time allowed me to take over my dead self's place in this world, and also, because of the fact that it was allowed to happen, as it was written on the second piece of paper that I had on me, which reversed time. It must have control over time and paradoxes, which made me now the new alive and present of my other dead self. I hid my limp, bleeding other dead self in a cupboard in the upstairs bathroom to rot. To my great relief, I heard my friend call my name from downstairs, my friend who managed to stay alive and well, my best friend. When I went downstairs, he greeted me excitedly, smiling childishly and being blissfully unaware of the situation. I pretended that nothing had happened. In a heartbeat, I told him that the house creeped me out and that it would be much better if we left. After that day, we never went near the mansion again. I don't know if anyone saw or heard about anything that happened between us, but I recently heard from another friend that the house had been demolished, and I can tell you with great certainty that while this news is a relief, I dreaded the probable prospect that my corpse was uncovered in the bathroom cabinet.
Wow, these stories are great. Thank you so much, Carl Brandt and Ulishai. I love the originality from Carl Brandt, and I can really see that SCP growing. Technically, of course, it's not canon and not part of the SCP story group. However, it doesn't change the fact that the SCP homage itself was very well done. So thank you, Carl, for this one. Our second story, The Crunched Up Paper House, was really interesting. I was expecting a very different ending, to be honest. I thought that when it mentioned the paradox, it would actually have another version of himself kill himself again. And whilst trapped in there, our protagonist fruitlessly dies over and over again, trying to escape. But this was a nice and kinder ending, so it goes to show where my head was at. However, how would you have ended it? Would you have written something like, "You hired people to demolish the house, and just see what happens"? If you do have any thoughts on this, send them my way to storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you think. And lastly, my awesome supporters, if you have any spare time, there are two ways to help this channel grow, which means more stories and more collaborations. And the first way is to spread word of this channel to as many people as you can. At school, with the family, anyone that you know, strangers, okay, not strangers, okay, but family and friends, spreading the word around would be brilliant. This, though, I do know a lot of you do, and I'm really thankful. And the second best way to support this channel is to leave a little iTunes review. It really, really goes a long way. Each review helps people see the channel and think, this is worth my time. And it's you listeners that make this happen. So thank you so much. Every single review helps. And on that note, it is that time. This is the place where stories live, and you tale tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.